This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
We are coming into Christmas, as if you don't know that already. I'm here to tell you that Christmas is around the corner. And as we go into Christmas, you're going to hear a lot about this person, this God in flesh, whose name is Jesus. He is going to be the center point of many things that we talk about and we do, and many things you're going to hear outside of this room. And today I thought, as we was praying about God, well, how do you want to go into our Christmas season as we focus on you? And I feel like the Lord just gave me a word and encouragement to some of you today, maybe hopefully all of you. And I thought, instead of starting with the beginning, the little baby in a manger, let's start to the whole reason. Let's start with the end in mind. What was the whole reason? What was the whole purpose of this whole story that we're about to celebrate? And here today, the simplicity of it is this. The whole story is so that you and I would have assurance and hope and peace to know that Jesus is our answer. That Jesus is our answer to everything that we do, we say, everything that we face, everything that we go through. He is the answer. And if you walked into this room, and I don't pretend to know what any of you have walked into the room for, maybe life is grand, maybe life is not so grand, and maybe you need a breakthrough, or maybe you need some healing in your life, or maybe you just need a miracle in some area, I believe that this is the season for that to happen in your life, because Jesus is the answer. And I hope you're okay. I don't know, again, what you're coming for, but I want to get a little Pentecostal with you this morning. Is that all right? Can we get a little Pentecostal this morning? And let's really dive into this thing, into this man named Jesus, man who wants to just be so alive in your life. And I want to show you a passage of Scripture where Jesus is the center focus. He's on the scene. And it's a passage, a piece of Scripture that should be an expectation for your life. And it should be an expectation as we gather together as a church and as followers of Christ. And so Jesus, in this particular story I'm going to read to you, he's in a town called Capernaum. And Capernaum was kind of like his home base. It's kind of where Jesus operated a lot in his short ministry life in Capernaum. He's at a home in this particular story. Some people would actually say that it was Jesus' personal home. Some people would say maybe it was the home of a disciple. But at any rate, he's in a home, and he's doing ministry. And it's a familiar story to some of us, but let's start reading it today. You find it in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, and this is what it starts to read. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard, they heard that he had come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get to him or get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I read the first part of that, and what really encourages me and I encourage you for is that how many of you know that just sometimes in life, sometimes as believers, sometimes you just got to get around people who just have a little more faith than you do. And this is kind of what we're seeing at the beginning of this story. Some of us are struggling and wondering in our lives right now, will it ever work out for me? And if you're not struggling with that now, promise you, you'll have that day someday. Where you're just like, life is not good, things don't seem to be working in my favor, things aren't working out. And here's the really good news, as a church and as followers of Christ, you're in the right place. You're in the right season, because I believe that CLC is a church filled with people of faith who can believe with you, who can journey with you. And if you need a breakthrough today, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. A group of people who come together and say, you know what, I believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life. And you may not be able to get there, but I can help you get there. And I can walk with you along the way. And that's what this whole story is setting up. I think the story, this parable, or not parable, this actual story, could have been told with one simple way. A paralyzed man was lowered in the roof. God said your sins are forgiven and you're healed. That could have been the story. But how many of there's so much more to the story? It talks about friends. It talks about people walking with this guy, taking him to a certain place to meet Jesus. There's more to the story, and it talks, and I think it's an example of the church today. He goes on, he says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was that what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to this man, so he said to them, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. I just want to say this, while we're starting from the end, Jesus is our answer than the beginning. Because maybe you're here today, and Jesus just wants to say to you, get up. Like, get up. It's been a season in your life, and it's time to get up. Like, you've walked into this holiday season, maybe you're depressed, maybe you're overwhelmed, maybe you're discouraged. Maybe there's all these other kinds of emotions. And I want to encourage you this morning. I think Jesus would proclaim to us, get up. It's a season. It's your moment to get up. God's got great things for you. He goes on and he finishes this story. He says he got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. We've never, ever seen anything like this. This is the season that we want you to experience. As I said before, can I get a little Pentecostal with you just for 1 second, then I'll go back to the other thing. All right? Let me say this phrase to you. It's a wonderful phrase. We have never seen anything like this before. Don't you want that for your life? That God works so much in your life that you say, man, I've never seen anything like this before. Like, from the moment he entered that manger over 2,000 years ago, that's what the world has been proclaiming. We have never seen anything like this before. That's how amazing our God is, that he wants to do things in your life that you've never seen before. And the reason he is that we believe that is because Jesus is our answer. He is our answer. If you need a breakthrough today, Jesus is your answer. If you need a miracle in your life today, Jesus is your answer. If you need guidance today, you need peace or hope or assurance in your heart today, Jesus is your answer. If you need hope, Jesus is your answer. Because how many know experience defines everything in our lives? And we all have different types of experience and things we've experienced. But I can tell you a true story. Like, one experience we had, we were going somewhere, we were taking a trip. I can't remember the exact trip. I just remember the tragedy that we had worked hard. We were packing, getting all our stuff together. We had booked flights. We were flying out. We're running. We're late as usual. We're getting there. It's just stressful. You know how it is. And you get up to the ticket counter. We're like, okay, we're flying to Florida. And I remember the ticket agent looking at me and saying, we don't have any record of you. And we're like, come to find out, I had booked the wrong date. Like, it was a week later that I had booked for this trip. And we had showed up to be there, to be a part of it. I don't know if any of you have ever done something stupid like that. Like, maybe I'm the only one who's ever done dumb things in my life. But the experience was like, oh my gosh, we were so excited for something, and the thought we're going to miss it. The main thing that we did all the work for, we're going to miss it. Like, some of you, like, it's Sunday, right? And so you had to set your alarm earlier than maybe you normally would set it. You had to get ready this morning to look really pretty. You had to, maybe if you have kids, you had to get your kids ready. You had to go out in the cold. You had to start your car earlier than normal. You had to park in our big parking lot and walk all the way in here in the cold. You had to come in. You had to find a seat. Hopefully you had good worship. Hopefully you're going to hear a good message. And then you're going to leave here. And the worry is that all that went into that, you would leave this room and miss the main attraction. You would do all those things and miss the main thing that it was all for. And I want to remind us today what the main thing that we come to our church, that we come to CLC to experience every week. We love all the other stuff, but Jesus is the main attraction. He is the main thing. He's what it's all about. And what I don't want us to do is to come in and experience everything else and miss the main thing. And my prayer is that if you've been attending our church for any time, that has not happened to you. That you come in every day with every week with an expectation. I've said this for years, but I believe expectation is the platform for miracles. If you expect something to happen, that's when it happens. When you expect God to do good things, that's when it happens in your life. And the reality is, why is this so valuable for this season we're in? Because no matter what you're going through, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. The problem with our lives is we get the equation messed up. And so, like, our equation might look a little something like this, like blank, you put in the blank, plus your problem equals another blank. And this is the equation that we live life. So bad, your bad relationships plus your problem, how many know, equals disaster? Like, yourself, so much focus on myself, everything's about me, plus your problem equals selfishness. How about, like, your money? Money, 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 right? Your money plus your problems equals more problems. Like a little bit of God, if I just have a little bit of faith, man, everything, but then I'll put my little bit of faith with my problems, I think it just creates more frustration and more lack of belief. And so I'm here to remind you today why this house, why this church is Jesus focused. Because we simply believe the equation needs to change. That if you change the equation, to put it this way, like it'll be on the screen, Jesus plus your problem equals victory. We believe that's the equation you live by. Jesus added to your problem will equal victory. So whatever we are, or wherever we are, or whatever we struggle with, when you add Jesus to the equation, when you add him to your decisions, and you add him to your marriage, and you add him to your relationships, that's when the breakthroughs and the miracles happen in your life. It's simply just putting faith on him, because Jesus is our answer. And this is what we see in our story today. Like, we have this house, or you could even say a church, where, and you would say that Jesus is there and Jesus is in the midst of it. And he gives us some amazing truth that we see in this story, that he's in this place. He gives us this truth that really pinpoints and puts the spotlight that Jesus is our answer. I mean, you go all the way back to the very first verse, and it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he was in this home. So they heard that he's in this home. So the question would be, well, what do they do? Like, they go to this home, that are they like, well, let's go see him? Or maybe it's more like, well, I heard Jesus is here, but I can't go today because I have a golf tee time. So I'll catch up with that later. Or we've heard Jesus is here, but I'm just too busy right now. I'll try to catch it on the rewind on Facebook later. I'll go back and rewatch Jesus was in the house. But how many know that's kind of not what happens? The story tells us a little different. Look at verse 2. It says, they gathered in such small numbers that there... Wait, no, right? They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Like, think about it. There were so many people, right? And now we sit back and say, well, you know... Pastor, I get it, but it's a different day. It's a different culture. Like, I mean, these people don't have the life that we have today. Like, they don't understand all the things that we're going through and all the distractions we have, and we're just so busy, and they don't have the schedules that we carry in our lives today. And I would say to you, well, let me remind you a little about these people that are gathered, packed in this room. These were just normal people. These were like laborers of the day. Like, they would work 6+ days a week, 12+ hours a day. And if it didn't work, it wasn't like the government stepped in and said, hey, we're going to help you out during this season. Like, their season was, if you don't work, you don't eat. And yet we find these people, they hear Jesus is coming, Jesus is in this house, and they're like, oh, we gather in such large number. Their mindset was, you know what, he is worth our sacrifice. Like, we're going to take the time to be with him, because we understand that where Jesus is, the answer is there also. I would encourage you today, this is, as we close out 2024, our church and you as a father, we need to understand this one thought. How many know Jesus is worthy of my time and my attention? He is so worthy of your time. He is so worthy of your attention. And if we want to create a culture in your house, in our church, in your workplace where Jesus is celebrated and where the miraculous happens, then we've got to be willing to give him a little bit of our time and our attention. And I really think, like, we don't understand in the American Christian world what sacrifice is really all about. Like, we have no idea what it would mean to put your life on a line to literally follow him. To really gather together with a group of people could cost you your life. And yet places like that, the church grows, it succeeds, because people understand he's worthy of my time. He's worthy of my attention. And the American church and the American Christian has done a really good job of like dumbing it all down and saying, well, you know what, look what I've given you, Jesus. I mean, look at this token I'm offering to you. Do you see how much this is costing me? Do you see the sacrifice I've put into this? You see this token? Jesus, you should be clapping me on the back. We don't understand our culture because we get so much of like, well, I don't really need the church. I don't really need people. I don't really need believers. How many know this story illustrates the opposite? Well, I don't need others to do faith by myself. And yet, church, we wonder why we don't see the miracles that are happening around the world happen here. Because Jesus is a thing we do, not the thing that we do. We've got to get that together. And at CLC, as we finish out our 100 days of faith, we've been talking about that, such an emphasis on believing God for some amazing things. When we get into this Christmas season and we talk so much about Jesus, it's all for one reason, because we know that Jesus is worthy of our attention and our time. And he's worthy of it, church, no matter what's going on in our world or what's going on in your personal life. He's still worthy of your attention and your time. Like, and if you feel a little convicted, let me give you a little more conviction this morning. John Piper, maybe you've heard of him. He was talking about social media. He was talking about things like Facebook and Instagram and X or Twitter, whatever you call it. But he made this statement. He said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. It's not from lack of time. These people make a point to say, if Jesus is going to be in the house, we're going to give him our attention. If Jesus is going to be in the house, we're going to give him our focus, and we're going to give him our time. Man, even yesterday we had a group of men here from around the churches, from around the community. I don't know the exact number, 200-300 men in the room, packed a place. What a great, you know, there's nothing to me, I know it sounds kind of weird, but there's nothing great than hearing all male voices sing worship in the room. It's actually quite impressive. And we're in here, and I met people, come along people. I met a gentleman I didn't even know who just said to me, the presence of God is here in this church. I feel joy. I feel hospitality. And church, I want to tell you, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the presence of the Lord is in this place. God's presence is in this place. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. I believe our church is sitting on a spring that's ready to bring forth. It's ready to do something in our community like we've never done before. God's ready to show up in ways that he's never done before. I sit back with people all the time, and I'm going to be very raw for just a moment. I sit back with people all the time. Maybe you're new to our church, and thank God, but maybe you've been here for years, and I hear stories of hurt, people walking out of our church with hurt, and I'm sure that's with every church, but I'm defended to draw a line in the sand and say, those days are over. Those days are over. This is not a place of hurt, but this is a place of healing. And this is a place where you come to encounter the presence of God. And it's a place you come to go, well, I'm going to step out in the things and the purpose that God has for my life. Because Jesus is our answer. And he is our answers. And we at CLC, I'm encouraging you, his presence is here. So when you're here, be all here. Lean into worship. Lean into the message. Why? Because the presence of God is here. And he wants you to encounter you. You know, he wants to be Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be your answer to everything you walk through. So he is worthy of your attention and your time. He goes on in verse 3. It's been on the screen. He says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And this is important to understand, church, because you need to understand the background here. It sounds simple. Because this, we ought to understand that idea that he's a paralyzed man, like that he was part of a different community. Back in those days, the disabled had their own community of that day, and it wasn't by choice. If you were disabled during those times, you were not looked at as just a burden, but you were also an outcast of society. Like, they would literally think if you were disabled at those times that you must have some kind of sin in your life, or your family must have some kind of sin. So they would take you outside of the city to dwell in a community of other disabled people. Like, you were a second-rate citizen at the time. But these guys, what I love about these men, these friends of his, they understood something about Jesus that I think sometimes we miss. It's something they miss. And here's what they simply understood. Every person has a place in the presence of Jesus. They knew this. Every person has a presence, has a place in the presence of Jesus. No matter your issues, no matter what you're walking through, it's important to understand that you have a place in the presence of Jesus. And we're really, really good at rationalizing why we don't belong to God, or why we don't belong, we shouldn't engage with him, and why we shouldn't plug into church. But these guys knew that in spite of this man's issues, and in spite of the societal look that was put upon him, the best thing they could do for him was to get him into the presence of Jesus. That was the best thing they could do for him. Years ago, I was youth pastoring in Toledo, or outside of Toledo, Ohio, and we were at a city meeting. We were bringing Convoy of Hope into Toledo, and so I was representative of our church at this city meeting, and I remember sitting around a table with all these city leaders and community leaders and listening. I'm at a round table with a group of them, and I'm listening to their conversations and the things they're talking about. Finally, one of the leaders looks at me. I'm sitting there quiet, and he says, "What do you do for a living? Why are you around the table?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." And he's like, "I'm sorry for everything that I've said so far." And I'm like, "Dude, you are apologizing to the wrong person, right?" And I said, "Do you go to church?" And his response to me is, "No, I don't go to church." And I'm like, "Well, why not? It's a great place." And, you know, he says to me, he goes, "I promise you, you don't want my kind in your church. You don't want my kind in your church." I looked and said, "Well, what's your kind? Like, what's the issue?" He goes, "Oh, man, I know what it's like. I know what it's like. It was, you all have it all together in church. You guys have it all together. I've got a lot of issues." I mean, literally, he was bragging, like, "I'm a good sinner," telling me that. And I looked at him with all sincerity. And I said, "I'm sorry that that was miscommunicated to you. I don't know where you heard that a church is a social club for good people. You got the wrong memo, mister." And I said, "The church is a rescue mission to bring people out of darkness into light." And I said, "You're who the church is actually for." And I think Jesus sets this precedent in this story that when people were considered outcast, Jesus brought them close. Jesus brought them close. Man, you see it throughout the Bible. Like, women of the day were considered outcasts. You know what Jesus did? He brought them close and did ministry with them. Kids were considered overlooked. You know what Jesus did? He brought them close and then used them. People with leprosy were told, "Hey, to stay at a distance, that you were unclean." You know what Jesus did? He brought them close. He touched them and they were made whole. You know what? People who were tax collectors or dirty politicians of the day, Jesus comes and he eats with them. And he saw them give their lives to him, and he brought them into their ultimate purpose. And I just want to say to you, church, I don't know what keeps you away, but the best thing you can do is to get close to Jesus. You get close to Jesus. Like, when we get close to Jesus, hear me, that's when miracles will happen in your life. Like, at Christian Life Center, we don't care about your background. We don't care about your race. We don't care about your struggles, your financial wealth, your issues. We don't care about your upbringing, your age. None of that matters, because no matter who you are, we all serve the same solution, and his name is Jesus. We all serve that same solution. I love this about God. It'll be on the screen if you're taking notes. Get this. I love this about God, that even though God knows the worst of you, he thinks the best of you. I don't know about you, but you can't find many people in the world today who know the worst of you and think the best of you. But Jesus knows everything about you, and yet he still thinks the best of you. And it's important for us to grasp at this morning, that God wants us close. All of us are welcome in the presence of Jesus. The story goes on. Mark 2, verse 4, it says, "Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and by digging through it, and they lowered the mat the man was lying on." And then look what it says in verse 5. "And when Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I've read this passage tons of times, but when I'm reading it now, I'm reading it differently. Something in that one verse there doesn't make any sense to me. If you've ever seen this before, get this. Did you notice that he got the miracle because of their faith? He got the miracle because of their faith. The paralyzed man did nothing. He didn't even, far as we know, he didn't even request to be brought there. They brought him. Like he got the miracle, but he wasn't doing anything to do it, to get it. It was their doing. Like, it shows us how important this house of faith is. Like, because sometimes, how many of you know, you don't have the faith for yourself to get where you need to go. Sometimes you need some people to come alongside you. You need some friends who say, you know what, you might not believe it, but I'm going to believe it for you. You might not feel like you're worthy, but I believe I'm going to be worthy for you. Like, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to agree with you that God will do the miracle in your life that you need. And we want to see miracles in this house. And if we want to see miracles in this house, it comes down to you and I getting close to Jesus and relying on one another. I wrote down this way: your community either brings you close to or draws you away from Jesus. It's one of the two. Is the people that you surround yourself with, do they draw you closer to Jesus or do they pull you away? And community could be your friends, it could be your family, it could be your workplace, it could be your church, but your community should be cheering you on in your faith journey. They should be coming behind you. And I'm just saying, some of us are at risk of drawing away because we have the wrong voices in our lives. The long people talking to us. Maybe the word for somebody in this room today is you don't need to be distant anymore. It's time to draw close to God. And the closer you get to God, the closer you are to seeing the miracle in your life. But I got to give you a little insight this morning. This guy is sitting in a community with a bunch of other disabled people. By the way, let me just say this. He's sitting in this community with others. Have you ever noticed in life that we surround ourselves with people who have the same issues we have? Like, that's just our nature. We always go back to the same people who have the same issues that we have. Like, if you're a negative person here, I would challenge you to go home today and think about all the people in your life. You'd probably find that they're all negative too. Like, we get around people, we're like, well, we just talk to each other about how bad life is. We talk around each other about how no one understands us, and it's always going to be bad for us, and nobody sees us, and no one cares for us. And finally, this guy, this disabled guy, he let an outside voice of a group of friends and some men into his life. And they said, hey, buddy, there's a miracle worker in town. We're going to take you there. We're going to believe together that God's going to do something in your life. And I believe at that moment, this paralyzed guy, he had a choice to make. He had a choice. What voice am I going to listen to? Like, am I going to listen to the people who have the same issue as I do, sitting around my community? Or am I going to say, you know what? There's a different voice out there, and I'm going to listen to that. I don't know anything about these four friends. Don't know their biographies, don't know who they are, don't know anything about them, except for one fact. I do know that they don't have the same issue that the paralyzed man has. They don't have the same issue. And it shows me they might not be stronger in other areas, but in this area, they were stronger. And it's for us today. Sometimes we have to get around people who are stronger in areas that we are weak in. And when we humble ourselves, saying, listen, I need community. I need people to believe with me. I believe there are others in faith who can help us draw closer to Jesus than we could ever get to on our own. But we have to make that decision. And again, we don't know a lot about this paralyzed guy. We don't know anything about him, but I do know two things. I know, number one, he was paralyzed. So he had some issues. And I know, number two, I know that he had some really good friends. And so I want to encourage all of us in the room today, no matter your age, no matter who you are, can I encourage you, don't pick friends that enable you. And you're saying, why are you talking about that, Pastor? You know why? Because the church is full of people who pick friends who enable them. And you wonder why you don't see the miracles of God working in your life. Don't pick friends that enable you. Can I challenge you the other way? Pick friends that will empower you. That will empower you. And we need to be with people who bring us close to Jesus. And too many people want to keep us in our mess. Too many people are happy to see us content to stay where we are. Too many people, even in the church, bring us backwards or hold us where we are. And I'm just saying, hey, let's break out of that and let's be determined to be a church that moves forward to what God has for us. And some of us have been laying on our mat way too long. And like I said at the beginning, it's time to get up. You have a church that is ready to lock arms with you. You have a church that's ready to journey with you into victory because we understand and believe that Jesus is our answer and he is here. Goes on here, it tells us in verse 6, it says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there and thinking to themselves, why does this fella talk like that? And how many know if he's got to use the word fella, it's already negative, right? Like if somebody calls you fella, hey fella, it's not a good thing. So they're using the word fella. They're already talking down. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit, that what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Why are you thinking these things? What are they trying to say? Hey, why is what Jesus is doing is not possible? He can't do that, those things. He's impossible. How can Jesus come on the scene and forgive you of your sins? How can Jesus? They're already questioning his authority and his goodness. Let me challenge you with this point this morning. Refuse to let man's limited experience keep you from God's limitless power. Let me say that again. Refuse to let man's limited experience keep you from God's limitless power. We listen way too much to why things can't work. We listen way too much. We let it enter our mind that that's not possible. And we can easily begin to buy into why it can't work instead of why it can work. And Jesus walks onto the scenes and he's basically saying, I can do all things. I can do the impossible. And yet we're so good at putting Jesus in a box. Like religious people are very good at this. They put Jesus in a box. Well, God only speaks during these times. Well, the church service should only be this long, or like you have to sing this song, or you have to only say good, nice thoughts, and we put him in a box. And CLC, I just refuse, man. Hey, we walk into 2024. The days ahead of our world and our history is going to need us to take God out of the box. And yet we do it. The relationship is beyond repair. Box. Oh, man, the sickness is far too gone. Box. The hurt is unforgivable. Box. If I give or if I sacrifice, I can't meet my needs. Box. And Jesus stepped in on the scene 2,000 years ago to break down those boxes and show us that even in the most difficult things, all things are possible with God. All things are possible with him. And we see it throughout this story. This story shows us some really important things. You know what it shows us? It shows us that with God, every sin is forgivable. He tells him, your sins are forgiven. You know what? Only Jesus can do that. And why is Jesus our answer? Because he's the only one who can forgive you of your sins. You know what else this story shows us? It shows us that every sickness is healable. I love it. There is not a level of sicknesses that God can heal. Well, God can heal your cold, but cancer, I don't know. Like there's no levels. Oh, God can do this and this time, but he can't do this at this time. Like we don't live by our experiences, guys. We live by what God says in his word. And his word says that he came to heal our diseases. You know what else the story tells us? It tells us that every past is redeemable. Every past is redeemable. Even this man's story, he goes from a guy who probably laid on for decades on this mat. Decades, didn't move. But God redeems his past. And church, we've got to grasp it today that our sins are forgivable, that your sickness is healable, that your past is redeemable, not because of anything you do, but because Jesus is our answer. Because he's our answer. It's because he is everything, and he demonstrates it to us today. He goes on to say in verse 9, which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I wanted you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, get this, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Take your mat and go home. I'm going to illustrate this for you today. I don't know if any of you remember these. Anybody remember these? Come on. If you went to kindergarten, how many wish you could have one of these in your office right now? And at 12, it was mandatory that you take a nap. He has this mat that he's been on for all these years, this one mat. And we see this so illustrated in the story because he comes in and the Bible shows us. And I've always encouraged you got to read the Bible slow. You got to look at it because he's lowered from the roof. He's on this mat. He's been sitting on this mat for years and years. And he's there and he's lowered down. He's on his mat. And Jesus says this first line to him, "Your sins are forgiven." I don't know what happened in the room, but I can guarantee that when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," there was a spirit that came upon him. I bet you there was like, oh, wow, I'm being made clean. I'm whole. Jesus has forgiven me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I bet there was rejoicing. I bet he was excited. He could have probably been at that moment taken from his mat back to his community, and he still would have been excited because Jesus forgave his sins. But then Jesus says, "Get up." So he went from, "Yes, my sins are forgiven." Then he heard, "Get up." He went, "What? But my sins are forgiven. Get up." "What? Get up? Wait a minute. Wait. Time out. I've been here for a whole life, decades. What do you mean, get up? Get up?" I bet the room had to change. The countenance had to change. Like, he's saying, "Get up. I've been here for decades." I want to just encourage his shoes. I wonder how many people experience the miracle of salvation, but they never experience the healing that God wants to do afterwards. Because the first miracle of salvation was the one that only required faith. Okay, I'm forgiven. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. The second miracle takes action. The second miracle takes action. Doing things for God, listen, doesn't guarantee us eternity. We know that. Doing things, deeds, does not give us an eternity in heaven. We receive that as a free gift. But there are things that God wants to do afterwards that will produce miracles in your life if you'll take action. I wrote down this way, if you get any point today, take this one home with you. I believe this. To experience the impossible, we must be willing to obey the illogical. To experience the impossible, you must be willing to obey the illogical. Like, the illogical side is get up, get off the mat, take it with you. How many know that's illogical? It's not illogical to forgive me my sins, but illogical now. I've been sitting here for decades, and you're going to ask me to get up? He had to think to himself, this doesn't make any sense to me. And in the same way, it was illogical for God to tell Moses, "Hey, take this twig, take this staff, take this stick, and put it over the Red Sea." Like, do you think God could have parted the Red Sea without the stick? There was something about the illogical obedience that brought the impossible. So he says, you take the stick, you hold over the Red Sea. Like, we want the impossible, but we're not willing to do the illogical. And so as Moses puts out this staff over the Red Sea, it splits in half. It was impractical, it was illogical, but it produced the impossible. It's a sling, it's a stone, and a giant. How do you overcome the impossible in your life? You overcome the impossible in your life by being obedient to whatever the illogical is that God's telling you to do. That's how you do it. Some of us can't get freedom in our finances because you won't listen and obey the illogical thing that God says to do by tithing and giving. Some of us don't experience the joy of freedom and purpose that comes with serving God because we don't do the illogical thing of submitting everything of our lives, every part of our lives to Him. And it doesn't make sense. And I believe, I'll just encourage you, if it doesn't make sense, it's probably God. If it doesn't make sense to you, it's probably God. It's probably God wants to do something in your life. It's how God wants to work in your life. And we've got to be a church who's willing to lean into the illogical at times because that's what produces the impossible. James writes it this way in James chapter 2. He says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. It's dead. And I want to remind us today, God did not save us from our sins so that we can stay on your mats. God did not save us from your sins so that you can stay on your mat of limitations. Listen, man, this guy could have went back to his village, back to his community of disabled people. He could have taken his forgiveness of sins and spent eternity in heaven. But is that really the purpose and the plan that God has for him? Would that be it? You could sit and bask in all the forgiveness that God has for you, but how many know there's so much more that God has for you? There's so much more that he wants to do in your life. And I think one of the saddest things I see in Christianity today are people who have willingly accepted the forgiveness of sins, but they stop there. But that's it. They just stop there. It's one of the saddest things. They go, Jesus was the answer for my sins, but the issues of my life, I don't know about that. And I just believe until we make Jesus the answer for everything, we're not going to see the miracles that God wants to do in your life. You see the miracles he wants to do in our church. So in our story, he says to him, you know, he says, hey, get up, get up. I tell you, take your mat, get up. And he got up. And he got up, which is really, really cool. I love it. He got up. It's a powerful phrase. Sometimes we read it really quick, but it's simple. He got up. Cool. I want you to think about this, though. He's been stuck there for years. But he made a point. He made a decision in that moment, even though this may look stupid, even though this seems illogical, I'm going to try to be obedient. And I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. And not just by himself, how many know, in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of everyone watching and looking around him. Can I encourage you? Some of us, we just got to muster up enough courage to say, I'm not going to worry about the crowd anymore. But I'm going to put my trust in God, who's commissioned me into so much more than just to sit on my mat. Just to bask in his forgiveness and not go any further. Let's listen to him. Whatever you tell me to do, even if it seems illogical, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. And some of you today need to get up. Just need to get up. It's your day. It's your season to get up. No matter where you are, it's time to get up. This is a word for some of you today, and it's not fun, but I just want to say this. Some of you need to get over it. Just get over it and see a new breakthrough in your life. See God do new things. See a new revelation of God in your life, but it's not going to happen until you get up and you get over it. Christian Life Center, let's get up from where we are and let's see the impossible in our church. Let's see the miraculous in our church because we're not content to just sit on the mat anymore. But let's get over that place. But listen, there's more to it. Look what it says here. It says he got up and he took his mat with him. He got up and he took his mat with him. That's interesting. He took it. He went and he got the mat and he took it with him. Now, I don't know about you guys, right? I want you to think about this for a minute. If it was me, if it was you, and we had been on this thing for decades, you know what I'd be doing with it? Wouldn't you? Oops, I just dropped my hand. Wouldn't you be doing the same thing? Like, why would I just don't want this thing in my life anymore. I'd be jumping around on my new legs, you know what I mean? But the Bible didn't say that. He didn't do that. There's a lesson here. Bible says that he got up and he took his mat with him. There's a lesson. There's something to be a revelation here. We've left our mats. We have forgotten about our mats. And there's the issue here, right? There's a lesson here about Jesus being your answer. Because we've left our mats. Maybe it was 6 months ago. Maybe it was a year ago, 2 years ago in your life. Maybe it's been 20 years. Who knows? But God has saved you. He's done things in your life. Maybe for some of you, he's done the miraculous. And yet you're frustrated today because you have forgotten your mat. So my encouragement, Christian Life Center, today is not to just get up when Jesus does something amazing in your life, but don't forget your mat. Don't forget your mat. Hold it with you everywhere you go. Why? Not because you're going to ever need it again. You're not going to ever need it again. But you're going to need it as a reminder. And you're also going to need it as a testimony to the world around you to say, look what my God has done. Look what my God has done for my life. You take your mat with you. Your mat is the greatest message somebody else could ever hear. Your mat is the greatest reminder that you will need in your life that Jesus is your answer. Because you have it with you of all time. You remember that it's with you. You hold your mat. You frame your mats in your heart. These are the things that God's done for me, and I'm going to carry them with me everywhere I go. It's going to be my testimony. It's going to be my reason when I don't want to get up and when I feel broken and when I feel down and when I feel tired and when I feel like this isn't worth it, I can always go, wait. Remember my mat? Remember that thing that I was bound to where Jesus called me out of, where he did the impossible in my life? I have my mat who's with me. Hold your mats, frame them in your heart that it reminds you that God can do the impossible. That God can do things that no one else can do. Hear me this morning. I want to say this to you. It'll be my last thought on the screen. The miracle from Jesus starts with you, but it should never stay with you. It should never stay with you. So you take your mat. Don't be ashamed of your mat, church. Don't be ashamed of what God has done in your life. This is your testimony. This is, you use it to say, you know what? God did it for me. He can do it for you. God did the miraculous in my life. He can do the miraculous in your life. We carry the mat with us. What is that, a revelation in that story? The fact that it said he got up and he took his mat with him. And we need to carry it through our life that our God can do the impossible. He has done the impossible. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about your mat. Think about your mat. What has God done for you? Listen, CLC, it's time for you and I to get up, to get off the mat today. Would you stand with me? Let's get up today. Let's get up. Let's get off the mat. Let's pack it up. Let's pack it up. Say, God, you can do the impossible in my life. I'm carrying it with me, God. You can do the impossible. I get up. I make a statement today to get up, to not stand and seated any longer, to not just bask in your forgiveness, but to do something about it. To be the man and the woman that you called me to be. Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I'm struggling right now. You know what? God can do the impossible in your life. You know what? Maybe you're here today and you're fighting issues. I want you to look around the room. Maybe you can't see it literally, but there's a ton of people in the room that have a lot of mats under their arms. There's a lot of people carrying mats in this room because God has done the impossible in their life. And because he's done the impossible in your life, it's just a demonstration that he can do the impossible in your life. Man, let's don't leave it there anymore. Let's carry our mats wherever we go. Some of us have been believing, have stopped believing. We've stopped believing for the miraculous. We stopped believing God to do amazing things. It's time to get up. It's time to get back up. God can do and will do the impossible in your life if you submit yourself to him and you give yourself to him. And let me say this final thing to you this morning. Some of you just haven't found victory in your lives. Some of you have been bound to this thing. You're like, man, I want to do right. I want to do good. I want to see God do greater things. I want to be more committed. I want to be all these things. And yet you're not quite made it there. You've been stuck on the mat. God forgives you. God loves you. He has great things for you. That's not even in question. But what's in question is, what are the greater things that he wants to do? He wants you to get off the mat, pack it up, and do amazing things. And maybe you just haven't found victory in your lives. Let me today, not going to be your pastor, but today, let me be your friend. The story had friends. Today, I want to be your friend. I want to be a friend to you today with a little bit of extra faith to take you before the throne room. I want to be your friend today and provide a place for you to go before the throne room. I think if we go to Jesus, you'll find the answer. I think if we draw close to Jesus, you'll see the miracle in your life. And I want to be the friend today to create that space for you. God's presence is here. And if you need that today, you need to get up. There's things in your life you need to get up. This is your moment to embrace it. And so God, right now, we come to you in this room and we're going to worship you in just a moment for a second. But Lord, I represent friendship today and I bring my friends in this house before your presence today. Each and every one of us, I bring you before the throne room of God. I bring them into your presence. Everyone in this room has a right to be in the presence of God. Everyone. And so as a friend, God, I bring my friends into the throne room, into the presence of the Lord, because the healer is in the house. I bring my friends before the presence of the Lord because the deliverer is in the house. I bring my friends before you today, God, because I believe the deliverer is in the house. And so, Lord, I pray you challenge them. Not only would you forgive us of our sins, would you save us. But God, you challenge us to get up, to get off the mat, Lord, to pack it up and go live the destiny and the purpose that you've destined us to live. I pray that today, God, that your Holy Spirit would move in this room and you would convict and challenge hearts to say, God, I want more. I want you to do the impossible in my life. This is my moment. May we be a group of people walking around with the mats under our arms to say, this is what God did for me. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Jesus is our answer this morning. Come on, let's worship him together.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all.
Right now to remind us that you are Emmanuel, you're God with us, that you became flesh so that we can enjoy a moment like this, that we don't have to do life alone. But Lord, we can have the assurance and the hope and the peace that Jesus is our answer. And he is with us. And man, if there's those here today that need that experience, I pray, God, that you would help them to even now feel that, God, you are with us. If you're in this room today, as we just close out, one last thing, and it begins here for you, is maybe you're at that point right at the beginning where Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And some of you need to commit your life to him and say, God, I want that in my life. Maybe your mat journey begins by saying, God, I want to give you my heart, I'm giving you my life. I want my life to change. I want to be something different. And this is your opportunity to say, God, come into my life. I want to serve you. If you're here today, we're not going to, everywhere, heads bowed, eyes closed, between you and the Lord. We're not going to embarrass you right where you are. I just want to know who I'm praying for, though. If that's you this morning, and you say, listen, I need that in my life. I need God. I want to commit my life to him. Would you just put your hand up, put it back down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Anyone at all, real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. It's your chance. Don't miss it. Thank you. See that. Lord, right now, there's those who raised their hand today. So this is my opportunity. I give my life to you. And Lord, your word tells us that you are Jesus. And right there at the beginning, you have the authority. You're the only one with authority to forgive us, to save us. And so, Lord, today we call on you. We say, God, would you save us? Would you forgive us? We commit our lives to you. If you're here today and you were one of those people that raised your hand or you didn't, this is your opportunity right there where you're at. Just say, God, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me? Lord, would you draw me closer to you? I want a relationship with you. If that's you this morning, it's just that simple. God, forgive me. I need you. I commit my life to you. It's a statement you make right where you're sitting. God, I give you my life. I need you. And I would encourage you, take up your mat and follow him. For your church as a whole, God, I pray your face would shine upon us, Lord. May the joy of the Lord rest upon us. for the men and women in this place that are facing decisions, that are facing issues. We pray for even our college students who are ready to walk into a season of exams, Lord. We pray for, we're all facing different avenues and different things, but we pray that through it all, the grace of the Lord and your presence would calm peace and hope and assurance in our lives. May we all feel the love of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you come and give it up to the Lord this morning? Hey. Don't leave yet. One quick thing I want to tell you is we have a corner over here. We call it our prayer corner. Number one, if you had made a decision, maybe you raised your hand today, we'd love to pray with you, man. Take a moment. It's dark. No one will see you. You go over there and pray. If maybe I feel like there are people in the room today who need prayer. Maybe you're here today. You just need prayer. That's what this corner is. We have people over here that would love to just say a quick prayer with you. If you need prayer today, head over to that corner. We want to pray with you. Other than that, hey, we sign up for family communions coming up Friday, December 20th. You want to be a part of that? There's a sign-up sheet for that. A lot of things happening. We hope to see you Wednesday night. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Bring someone to church with you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.